A reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 66 through 71. Jesus before the council. When the day came, the assembly of the elders of all the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought them to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." A reading from John 19, verses 1 through 6. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming to him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I have found no case against him." So Jesus came out, wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw them, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him."
We wonder sometimes how those people could have killed Jesus, an innocent man, a good man, a loving man, who came to talk about the love of God. But killing innocent people isn't so hard to do. It happens all the time. And it usually is done by people who are convinced that they are doing something right. In these scripture passages that you've already heard and you will hear tonight, you will hear how Jesus was taken by the religious leaders of that time, who were sure that they were doing something right. They reasoned that Jesus was threatening the peace. Huge crowds were following him. His name was on the lips of everyone in Israel. He was quickly becoming the symbol that people were rallying around in the hopes of a new Israel. But the religious leaders knew that their small country with no army could never stand up against the might and power of Rome. It would be disastrous for the people to revolt against Rome, as indeed it turned out to be. When only a few years after the time of Jesus, there was a revolt in Jerusalem, And it was put down viciously and completely. And Israel ceased to exist for almost 2,000 years. The religious leaders of that time knew that they could never defeat Rome, and that those who were rallying around Jesus were inviting a disaster. True, Jesus had not been encouraging such a revolt, but men with other ideas, violent ideas, can sometimes use men of peace for their own ends. So Jesus, innocent though he was, had become dangerous to these religious leaders, and he had to be stopped. Killing innocent people by powerful people is not so hard to do. It happens all of the time. It's happening now in the Ukraine and in the Middle East. And it is usually done by people who are convinced that they are right. The Romans believed that they were right. They were in Israel for a number of reasons. They had not conquered Israel. They had not come in with their mighty army, and there was never a battle or even a threat of a battle that had given them the possession of Israel. Rome simply came and took what they wanted, which was the country. And the religious leaders saw that the best way to get along was to go along. Israel had been in danger of being overrun by another foreign power to the east. This was the resurgence of the old Persian Empire, and they didn't do well against the Persian Empire the last time. So when Rome came, the religious leaders said, "Come on in." And they did. For Rome was fearful too of that new religious, that new power that was emerging in the East. And they needed a place like Israel to be a buffer for them, to keep them from coming into their Roman Empire. It was important, therefore, that they keep possession of Israel, and once that they came in and had their garrisons and their troops in there, in their cities, in their towns, that they not leave. And so they didn't. Rome stayed, if not by diplomacy, then by military might. If not by the velvet glove, then by the iron fist. But however it had to be, Rome was going to stay in Israel. So one day, a group of religious leaders come to the Roman governor complaining about a man named Jesus. The Roman governor certainly must have heard this name. It was, after all, the governor's responsibility to know what was going on in Israel. And so he would have known about Jesus. And Pilate, the Roman governor, probably had his concerns about Jesus as well. He would have known about the crowds. He would have known about the signs and the reports of miracles. And he would have known that there would be people willing to use such a man with such influence for their own ends, to make things uncomfortable for the Roman governor. His job, Pilate's job, was to keep Israel quiet. Because as we all know, emperors don't like trouble. They make sure it doesn't happen. So when the religious leaders bring Jesus to him, complaining that he is a danger to the peace and that he claimed to be a king, it didn't take Pilate more than a split second to make a decision. It was important for Pilate. It was important for Rome. It was important for Israel. It was important for the religious leaders to keep things quiet in Israel. Killing innocent people is not so hard to do. It happens all of the time. And it is usually done by people who are convinced that they are right. So Jesus is crucified by people who are convinced that they must do this. He is not crucified by people intending to do evil, or by people who want to hurt an innocent person. Rather, he is crucified by people who think that they have no other choice, and that ultimately they are doing what is best for everyone. Best for everyone. He is crucified, ironically, by people of conviction, by people who believe in what they are doing. Tonight, we are remembering that Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified not because God wanted it so, but because people wanted it so. Amen.
A reading from John chapters 19, verses 17 through 18. And carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. A reading from Mark 15, verses 33 to 37. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land, until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard this, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last.